Welcome to Sav Stories. This episode of the Not So Great Outdoors was originally recorded for Patreon. The format of this episode varies from traditional content. Enjoy!
The Not So Great Outdoors contains stories of a graphic nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
The outdoors are great,
except when they're not.
Welcome to the Not So Great Outdoors. We are your guides. I'm Piff.
And I'm Sav, and this is the October 2020 Sav Stories. I'm so excited.
I'm excited because it's October, so it's spooky season.
Spooky season.
I got my fall sweater on. I sweat my butt off today in this.
The first one, two, three, four words. I had to count because I'm tired. The first four words of my notes are, "Happy spooky season, patrons!"
Woo!
I'm very excited because it is fall. I love fall, and I love Halloween.
I love
Halloween. It's freaking bats. I love it. So, in the spirit of all things spooky, I decided that this month would be the perfect time to talk about a particularly infamous Louisville paranormal spot, Waverly Hills Sanatorium. And Piff is laughing because we just recorded an episode that's not going to be out yet, actually. Patrons. So you get to know. You get to know.
One of our listener stories was at Waverly that we just did.
And by happenstance, I'm the one who read that one. So
oh
I saw it and I was like, well, I thought that would be.
I was honestly thinking, like, when you were reading that, I was like, oh, I wish I knew that this was where that story was, because I would have, like, re-listened to, like, an episode of And That's Why We Drink so I could say some stuff about Waverly, because I don't really remember that much.
I know too much. So now you can learn so much about Waverly.
So
right now,
are you going to go?
No. I want to go even less now that I have researched this. But again, I will do a lot for patrons. So I'm not saying it's completely off the table, but it's like teetering on the edge of the table. You know what I mean? Like, it just takes one more thing to just like pop it right off the table. But okay. So literally the next sentence in my notes is, let me start this episode by stating there is no way Sav is ever visiting Waverly after what I've read in my research. Absolutely not. It would take a heck of a lot to get me to go there. And that still stands. but again, I would do a lot for patrons. So
we'll see, guys.
We'll see.
Maybe next October.
Maybe next October.
They are still doing tours.
Oh.
They are still doing tours. However, like, they're having to do it differently. And, like, they're in this Halloween, like, haunted house thing. It took everything in me not to be like, yeah, I just read about it in the episode. So, yes, they do a haunted house every year.
I'm so sorry. However, I was just, like, clapping in your guys' ears. I'm so sorry. You held that together so well.
Thank you. Thanks. I have a really horrible poker face, so I'm proud of myself that I held it together very well.
See, I just assumed that that was your uncomfortableness with talking about Waverly.
Oh, no, yeah, there's that, too. That me squirming in my seat is very much just I'm uncomfortable talking about Waverly. That and, like, keep it together.
Don't let her know. Okay.
So.
Tell me things.
Before we dive in, let me remind you guys that all of my sources are going to be in the description of this video, just like they're always on the blog for our other episodes. The majority of what I found came from the Waverly website, therealwaverlyhills.com. So that's going to be the resources section of this is really short because they have a great website. Whoever wrote it did a great job.
See, this is unlike when I did Mammoth Cave and I was like, you can find none of this on Mammoth Cave's website.
Yeah, that website is not great. Not great.
I feel like it's because it's a national park and they just, like, want you to go. So they're going to put some pretty pictures and be like, we have activities. Come see what they are.
Yeah. So I visited a state park this weekend and could not find the tour schedule, the cave tour schedule on the
website. There wasn't one. So
there was, but there wasn't. Yeah, it was really weird. I digress.
So they usually post theirs weekly on Facebook.
It's not on Facebook either. Oh, well. I tried. It was wild, but it was
that
great.
Was my only guess.
Yeah, we had a great time. So I went straight to that website for many of these things. And honestly, their about tab is so great. I'm just gonna read it to you because there was no way I was gonna try to rephrase all of that.
You might as well just quote it.
Might as well just quote it. Yeah.
And I would just like to say, I think that's what makes us a little different than some podcasts, because I know that a lot of complaints about other, like, true crime podcasters is like, well, it's just like they're reading down the Wikipedia page. And it's like, well, one, we don't do that.
No.
We pretty much never use Wikipedia.
We never use
unless
Wikipedia.
Sometimes I have to use it because they'll be, like, quoting an article that I can't access, and it's, like, a sentence, and I'm like, oh, I don't care that much.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
Or I go there sometimes. I went there for the Stanley Hotel.
Yeah.
Because they linked out to a bunch of great sources.
And a lot of times
it's
a good place to get the links, not necessarily, like, to get the information.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's cool because we're very transparent about where we're getting stuff, when we're reading directly. Like, we're not trying to hide. We're not trying to be like, oh, yes, we did a lot of work.
Yeah.
But we didn't.
But we're giving credit to who did the work
first.
We
give credit.
Where it's due.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I love us.
I do, too. Thank you guys for loving us as well.
Yes.
Okay. So, here we go. Quote, and you're not going to hear me say end quote for a little bit, so just so you know. Quote, Waverly Hills Sanatorium sits on land that was originally purchased by Major Thomas H. Hayes in 1883. Major Hayes was in the need of a school for his daughters to attend, so he started a one-room schoolhouse that was located on Page's Lane. He hired a woman named Lizzie Lee Harris to teach at the school. Her love for the tiny school, in addition to her fondness for Scott's Waverly novels, prompted her to name the little schoolhouse Waverly School. Major Hayes liked the name and chose to name his property Waverly Hill, and the Board of Tuberculosis Hospital kept the name after purchasing the land and opening the sanatorium, which I thought was kind of cool.
So, question.
Yes.
The previous schoolhouse, did it become part of the sanatorium?
I think it was torn down, and then the Waverly, as we know it now, was built on that land. I think.
But they kept the name, which is cool.
Yeah. Okay, continuing the quote. Originally, Waverly Hills Sanatorium was a two-story frame building with a hipped roof and half timbering. Construction on this building began in 1908 and opened for business on July 26th.
That's your birthday.
1910. That's my birthday.
Not 1910. No. But yeah.
But July 26th, 1910, which just makes me a lot more uncomfortable with Waverly.
You're connected.
I'm connected to
You're connected to it. We gotta go.
No.
Patrons, help me get her out. There.
No. The building, you love how I just keep going. I'm like, no.
She's so uncomfortable.
The building was designed to accommodate 40 to 50 tuberculosis patients.
I thought I was the one that was drinking.
I know. I'm not drinking alcohol this time, guys, because I'm so tired.
She's drinking coffee.
I'm drinking coffee.
It is 9 o'clock at night, and she's drinking coffee.
Yep. I'm not going to say tuberculosis anymore. I'm going to say TB from now on.
Fair.
Just so you know. 40 to 50 TB patients safely. At the time, TB was a very serious disease. People who were affected with TB were isolated from the general public and placed in an area where they could rest, stay calm, and have plenty of fresh air. Sanatoriums were built on high hills. What?
That good air.
I know, that good mountain air.
Every single time we talk about tuberculosis, it's like, yeah,
that good air.
Which is a lot.
The sanatoriums were built on high hills surrounded by peaceful woods to create a serene atmosphere to help the patients recover.
So don't you want to go there?
No, definitely not. TB was becoming an epidemic in Valley Station, Pleasure Ridge Park, and other parts of Jefferson County in Kentucky. The little TB clinic was filled with more than 140 people, and it was obvious that a much larger hospital was needed to treat those afflicted with the condition. Because TB was so extremely contagious and at epidemic proportions,
What does that sound like?
Those living with it could not be allowed to live and exist among the general population. It was not known at the time that TB was an airborne disease. So, Waverly Hills was a self-contained community, a city in and of itself, complete with its own zip code.
That is
cool.
Really cool.
I know.
Does it still have its own zip code?
Probably.
That is so cool.
I actually didn't think to look it up now if it does. Yeah. It probably does. Who knows?
That's so cool, though.
It had its own post office, water treatment facility, grew its own fruits and vegetables, raised its own meat for slaughter, and maintained many of the other necessities of everyday life. Everyone at Waverly, patients, nurses, doctors, and other employees, had to say goodbye to everything they knew on the outside world. Once you went to Waverly Hills, you became a permanent resident on the hill. Oddly enough, despite the fact that many patients received visits from loved ones on visiting day, when the visit was over, the visitors left Waverly and ventured back out into the community. Which doesn't make any sense at all, because if you can't
be a doctor there and leave, how can you visit and leave?
Yeah.
Were they in hazmat suits?
I seriously doubt it.
Like 1800s versions of hazmat. I don't remember what
this
year
is. This is the 1900s now.
Early 1900 versions of hazmat suits.
1908 is when it opened. Yeah, who knows? They weren't wearing masks. That's for sure. Anyway.
They did in the 1920s during the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
So they might have been wearing masks.
Maybe. When it opened. Let's see. Okay. The massive collegiate Gothic style sanatorium that you see in the photos on the website. So I have photos for you in the drive. It's really just the building. I
honestly never looked at what it looks like. Sad stories.
October. And you guys can see these on their website. I just went to their photos or their gallery, and that's where I got a lot of these photos.
The link will be in the description.
Yes, the link will be in the description, and all of the photos that Piff is looking at are on that website. So the sanatorium that you see in the 1926 photo, which is the first one in that drive, in case you needed it, remains standing on Waverly Hill today. It could accommodate at least 400 plus patients and be considered one of the most modern and well-equipped facilities at the time. Construction of the sanatorium began in March 1924 and opened for business on October 17th, 1926. So yeah, maybe they were wearing masks.
Yeah.
Yeah. The littler one opened in 1908.
I don't know if you've seen any, but during like 2020, I've seen a lot of the pictures from the Spanish flu pandemic, and like the variety of hats, like women would wear these big hats that their masks would go around, and it was like this whole cool thing.
We can bring that back. Let's see. The facility served as a TB hospital until 1961, when the discovery of an antibiotic that successfully treated and cured TB rendered the facility obsolete.
What year?
1961.
That is many years.
Many years. Thank God for scientific advancement.
Oh, gosh.
It was closed down and quarantined, then renovated. In 1962, the building reopened as Woodhaven Medical Services, a geriatric facility. Woodhaven Medical was closed by the state in 1981. A wondrous medical breakthrough in 1944 was the discovery of an antibiotic that successfully treated and cured TB. Thousands would no longer have to die needlessly. Medical equipment slowly moved out. The halls gradually emptied. Its patients, doctors, and loving caretakers were gone, but never forgotten. Over the next few decades, Waverly Hills would fall into more dark times, vandalized, damaged, nearly condemned. Previous property owners had no desire to maintain the luster of the building and did little to stop people from slowly destroying it. It is sad that a place that played such a vital role during this period of history and medical discovery was not only over, but now disrespected. But in 2001, Waverly Hills Sanatorium was purchased by historical and paranormal enthusiasts Charles and Tina Mattingly. Since then, there have been many changes and improvements to the building and surrounding property. Charles, Tina, and the Waverly Hills Historical Society continue to work tirelessly and devote their lives to restoring the historic gem that is Waverly Hills and to its once amazing splendor. End quote.
Holy cow. Big quote.
That's their whole about page. Yeah. So I'm sorry, but it was so good. It has so much good information that I otherwise would have given you anyway.
In a slightly different way.
Yeah. And so I'm like, no, I'm just going to read it to you.
So that last name you said of the people.
Mattingly.
One of my new friends has that last name, and I wonder if she's related.
You should ask.
I'm going to have to now.
You're going to have to. So, as with many TB-related areas and locations and whatnot, Waverly is said to be one of the most haunted places in Kentucky, in the country, if not also the world.
Dun, dun, dun.
It has been featured on many TV shows, including Ghost Adventures with our beloved Zach Bagel Bites. Zach Baggins, in case anyone wants to know his real name.
I honestly don't know what his last name is, Baggins? Because I only know about him because of In That's Why We Drink. And they
Baggins?
Won.
Baggins?
They only say his name incorrectly, so they say Baggins, so I'm assuming that's wrong.
It's Baggins,
so
then, I guess. Baggins. I always think Baggins because of Lord of the Rings.
Ah.
Is why I think it. So yeah, it's definitely not Baggins, it's Baggins.
Yeah.
And also Bagel Bites. But, and again, we only really make fun of them because they're so dramatic. Jeez. Anywho. And it's also featured in a documentary called Spooked, The Ghosts of Waverly Hills Sanatorium, which I think would be kind of cool.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I think it's safe to say that Waverly has completely embraced their status as a paranormal hotspot. On top of their regular historic tours, they offer a 2-hour paranormal guided tour where a guide takes you to some of the most infamous places within the sanatorium. So that including
hopefully experience something.
Yeah. Including the morgue and the body chute. Do you know what the body chute is?
Like a chute for bot? I'm assuming it's a big slide that they put the dead bodies in and it shoops them down.
Like
a trash chute.
No, but that is what I thought of first.
Trash chute. I'm not wrong.
You're not far off. So,
it's not a slide.
I don't remember if I think I talk about this a little bit later, but it's fine. We'll talk about it now. So the body chute. At first, it was just a tunnel that led from, like, farther, like, at the edge of the property.
Like, not a vertical tunnel?
Not a vertical tunnel. To the hospital.
Okay.
And so one of the big things, especially early on in fighting TB and trying to learn more about it, they thought your morale played a huge role in whether you lived or died. And so, like, there was at least a death a day of a TB patient during the... During the pandemic.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah. So at least one death a day, and that obviously would bum people out.
Yeah.
You see a body being carted down the hallway.
Yeah.
So they would, at first, that tunnel was meant really just for the employees to come and go if they needed to, equipment to be brought in, supplies to be brought in, that kind of thing. But it soon became the way that they would discreetly remove the bodies.
Why was it called the chute if it was a tunnel?
It got named the body chute.
Did they put a conveyor belt in it?
I seriously doubt it. I bet they just rolled them on gurneys. I really
not
don't
very
know
chute-like,
that.
If you ask me.
Not very chute-like, but that's what they called it.
I literally thought that it was like, oh, so when people die on the third floor,
honestly,
they could just like shoot them down to the morgue.
I honestly really thought that too, because I have a friend who has visited Waverly. And they saw the chute, but they didn't really talk about, like, what it looked like.
What it was?
Yeah. And so I was like, okay. So you go there, as well as some other places on that 2-hour tour. They also offer a 6-hour public investigations option that gives you the opportunity to free roam and investigate on your own. As well, and the guide is just there, kind of like,
making sure
needed.
You don't break anything or
that,
steal anything.
And, like, if you don't want to be alone. Or, like, I think on the description it says, like, you can have as much alone time as you would like, and then you can have the access to the guide for as much as you don't want.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you don't want to be alone, which is fair. And then, they offer the opportunity for paranormal groups to set up their own private investigations, which gives them the opportunity free roam, unlimited, and even set up equipment, record, and stay as long as they like.
Stuff.
So, in my research, I found that there seems to be absolutely no shortage of paranormal experiences and stories from Waverly. Would you like to hear some?
I would love to hear some.
So, I found actually two, I don't know, I think it's just because I'm a previous journalist, and so I found two columns that people wrote and were published in papers that I thought was kind of cool. So, that's what I'm reading from. Because, I mean, there's so much from people on online and on social media and stuff.
It's
you know,
such a hot spot for it.
Yeah. So, our first recount comes from Rick Hinton and he wrote for the Southside Times, and he wrote about his experience for an overnight with his team.
Okay.
And so he said, quote, "I get asked a lot, what's been your scariest experience? There have been quite a few of a curious nature, shadows, voices, doors opening and closing, etc., which have been intriguing and made an evening interesting. However, there is one location that got my heart racing with a series of events and all on the same visit." End quote.
Done. Done. Duh.
Rick said that after seeing Waverly become the focus of several television ghost hunts and, quote, "common folk doing their own investigations and heavily endorsing their stamp of approval on social media."
So, like,
end
us.
Quote, he had to see for himself if it was really up to the hype. He said, quote, "the truth hit me like a ton of bricks. This place really is haunted," end quote. You good?
Yeah, that was just, the phrasing was comical to me.
Yep. To me, that meant, like, he was super skeptical, and then
it was
he was like, no, okay.
And now we're, like, here, guys.
Here we are.
Whoops.
In his article, Rick shares several of the scariest moments from their trip to Waverly, one of which happened almost as soon as they arrived. He said, quote, "My team made a trek through the dark first-level hallway. I was holding up the rear with a shadowy figure walking next to me. I assumed to be my teammate Doug. In what little I could make out, he was built like Doug. Anyway, we had our flashlights off so our eyes would adjust to the dark. We were silent and listening. Someone tripped in the group in front of me, and I heard Doug, up there, laughing and making a comment. I switched on my light, and no one was beside me."
Done.
Done. Done. Here are some more quotes from his experience.
I on do the- like to be, I'm glad that I whispered very not stealthily, "It wasn't Doug." We all knew that was gonna happen.
We knew. Okay, quote. "On the fourth floor terrace, I was alone and watching a dark shadow following me from within the inner hallway. It was playing hide and seek. It would, on occasion, peek a dark head around the door frames." End quote. I just think it's freaky that you can, like, track it. That it's, like, popping in and out. Mm-mm.
Nope. That just reminds me of, like, Scooby-Doo. Like, when they'd have the monster scenes.
Yep. His experiences grew more intense from there.
Oh, good. Cool. Sounds great. Good job, guys.
Good job. Quote. There's a lot of quotes in this, in case y'all didn't know.
Get that.
"My teammates helped me into a morgue locker at my request," it says.
Why?
"And left me alone." Because he's a skeptic. I don't know. But I was like, why?
He's this like, you know what I should decision. Do?
I'm a climber.
I should lay where actual dead human remains were. That'll show the ghost that I'm not afraid. Mm-hmm. No. So, there are some things I won't do.
Yeah. They helped him in there and left him alone. And he says, "I listened to their footsteps retreating," so he heard the group leaving him. "It was quiet for a while, and then the small room seemed to come alive. I couldn't see anything but black." Obviously, he shut inside this, like, metal thing.
Yeah, there's not lights in there. You're not supposed to be alive and in one.
Nope. "I couldn't see anything but black, yet outside the locker, I heard the sounds of shuffling feet, the clatter of things being moved on a metal gurney. They stopped as my team returned to let me out."
I also don't like that. Also, mm-hmm. I was just thinking, okay, so, like, you're hearing this ghost, like, messing with a gurney, messing with tools. What if the ghost was going to, like, autopsy you?
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like the ghost was prepping to autopsy you.
Yeah.
Maybe don't lay where dead people go.
Yeah. Maybe don't do that.
Don't do that.
Mm-mm. That has definitely happened on an episode of Ghost Adventures, by the way. Not the autopsy part. The laying in the morgue cabinet thing. And this next one is the scariest, in my opinion, of his experiences. You might need, you might need that.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm also gonna. Oh, okay, yeah. This is where I talk about the body sheet. So he talks a little more about it.
Okay.
So, quote. Obviously, I don't think I need to say it anymore. I think y'all know. Obviously, I've never been to Waverly, so if I'm talking about an experience in first person, it's not
it's
me.
It's a quote.
"The tunnel through the hill, from the hospital to the road below, was originally the entrance and exit for workers. So maybe it wasn't quite so. Maybe it was like a diagonal. It wasn't quite horizontal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it was maybe.
It was down the hill. There was a grade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was not a slide.
No, not a slide. I don't know though. I guess they could just take the gurney just like. It would be awful.
Look out! Incoming!
That would be awful.
We're terrible people.
We are terrible people. "So it originally was the entrance and exit for the workers, but it also served to deliver supplies, and it eventually graduated into the body chute, where the deceased were transported after passing in the hospital. Standing at the top, even a flashlight beam would not reach the bottom." And that is something I have seen, like, broad daylight. The light doesn't go more than a few feet within, mm-hmm. when it should. It's unnatural, like, how quickly the light stops whenever you shine it in there. Well, I mean, that people just say, like, it's unsettling, like, how dark it is. Like, they're
But
like,
I think most people are not used to, like, how real darkness swallows up light, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason cavers use specific types of light, because mm-hmm. it's not like being normal outside. It's different, and you
there's
have
no
to...
moon, there's no starlight. There's
and it's gonna absorb it more.
Yeah. So, So standing at the top, even a flashlight beam would not reach the bottom of the tunnel, which makes sense. My understanding, it was pretty long.
Yeah.
While shooting a single laser beam to the bottom, it suddenly stopped upon something solid. And that something was making its way up the tunnel towards us.
Nope.
We could see the vague white outlines of a form. We watched it grow closer until the form...
I'm late for work, actually. I gotta go.
We watched it grow closer until the form disappeared, with the laser beam then shooting down further into the darkness.
I do not like that at all.
Right? Like, do you see now why Sav don't want
to
go?
It was hitting... Literally, like, something solid enough to where the laser
didn't go
could through. Not keep going.
Yep.
I don't like that.
And they... I still want to go. Like, I used to have really high-powered lasers whenever I was a cave guide, because they're great for, like, showing this is this type of formation, this is this. Those things, like, you can tell.
Yeah, you can, like, shine see it on, the whole beam.
Yeah, and if you shine it on a person and they start walking, you watch the beam get shorter. And so, like, imagining just seeing that coming closer to you.
When there's not a human there?
Yeah, because I think you can go in if you want, but I don't think they take you in, if that makes any sense. Like, I think they're like, I mean, you can, but I don't know. But I would not.
It's there.
I'm not going. Like, if your guide won't go in, maybe not a good idea. I don't know if they do or not, but, like, I'm just saying, maybe not a good idea. So, there's that. So he says, quote, even though the building, once a housing for the sick and dying, now empty, you feel eyes upon you as you stand outside and gaze upward. I expect you will for years to come.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I expect you will for years to come, too. Haunted places tend to stay haunted.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Not great.
Yep. Okay, so, about my friend who visited. I used to work with her, actually, and her dad is a huge skeptic. And he would just be like, he'd be like, this fucking bullshit. Like, he'd be like, no, like from the back of the crew, which is so who he is. Because he also actually used to work at the company I used to work at too, which was hilarious. And he was just so the like, nope. Like he would be in the background, bullshit. Like,
that's no fun.
I know, but he was just like, no. And so there's all kinds of infamous things that happen at Waverly. I have also had another group of friends who are paranormal investigators, like in their free time, go, and there's the children's ward there, and there's this little
ghost.
That's
so sad.
Yeah, and they, if you go, you can feel them, like, pulling at your pants legs, you know, like little ones do, and things like that, and so the mom of that group I know sat down, I think they had a rocking chair at the point, and she sat down, and she said she could feel, like, a little one, like, crawled up into her lap to be rocked. And she was like, I didn't want to get up. Like, not that she was scared, but just, like, she
that
was
just
so
makes me
sad,
so sad.
Right?
Yeah.
And,
children ghosts are always sad. Unless they're demons, because a lot of demons disguise themselves as children.
And we'll talk a little bit more about, like, that in a minute. Not that specifically. No. The kids.
Not
later.
Demons.
A child ghost later. But, the one thing that I remember, she said that, like, made him be like, I don't like that, you know, was the shoot.
The shoot.
They walked up to it, and he was just like, mm-mm. He's a big, scary dude. Like, nothing really spooks him, but he was like, no.
Everybody's afraid of something.
Yeah. And they also, like, did the laser beam down the hallway of the children's ward.
Yeah.
And it got broken. Like, someone was running back and forth. So, like, a little one was running back and forth.
Oh, gosh.
And it kept, like getting broken, but you couldn't see a shadow or anything. It was just like flickering, and like the guide like gave it to somebody else and was like, here,
like
you
can
shine
it
down so that he's like I'm not doing it.
Well, but also there's a difference in what it would look like if you were like clicking it and somebody was breaking it.
Yeah. And he's not like, you know, moving his hand or anything. Like, you could see the beam, see the break.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't like up at the front. Wild. Let's see what else. Yeah, that's the most of, like, that was the biggest things, like, from her experience. But, so, I have another story I found. You good?
Yeah. It's late, that's all.
It is late. Another story I found came from Andrew McManus, I think is how his name.
That sounds like a name I've heard before.
Really?
Like a last name that I've heard
before. Oh, okay.
Not like, oh, I know who this is. No, I've heard the name McManus before.
Okay. He is a contributing columnist at the Portsmouth Daily Times.
And which Andrew Portsmouth?
I think Ohio.
Okay.
I think.
I didn't write it down. Oh. I think Ohio, though. I'm pretty sure it was Ohio. I could be wrong.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, you're fine. I
was just, because immediately I always think of Portsmouth, Oregon, and then I'm like, it's probably not that one. It's probably Ohio.
I think it's Ohio.
There's a Portsmouth in like every major city.
Really, every major state, yeah. Andrew was less than enthusiastic to be invited by a friend of his to join in on the trip to Waverly. I'm like, same, bro. I was like,
who does that remind me of?
Me. He said, quote, "I'll be the first to admit it. I wasn't excited to go. I was nervous. At least a few times a week, I get scared at my office when someone says hello. And my mom is the queen of hiding behind doors and jumping out. I do love horror films and have always been interested in doing an overnight stay at a haunted location, yet I was dreading it. His girlfriend, however, was thrilled. When he asked if she would like to come, she said, I've been wanting to go there for years. And I'm like, wow, opposites really do attract, don't they? They really do. They arrive as the sun was beginning to set, and Andrew put on his brave face, he said. His friend Sean was also along for the ride, and Andrew says, quote, it was evident that he was a complete skeptic, and I shared some of his opinions, but like I said, I was still nervous.
Yeah.
We take a walk around the complex, and our guide, Ernie, I love that his name's Ernie. I don't know why, but I do. Makes me think of, the night bus in Harry Potter.
Oh.
The head. Yeah, take her
take
away.
Take it away,
Ernie. The driver.
The driver.
Take her away, Ernie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there, our guide, Ernie, started to give us a tour of everything inside the building, sharing information, you know, as you do. Roughly 1 hour in, I thought Sean's head went into another room. Swearing I saw him walk in there, I went and followed him. Nope. Nobody there.
Awkward.
We were in for a long night.
Oh, gosh.
Ernie took us throughout the different floors. The fourth floor was said to be haunted by a young boy named Timmy.
Aw.
Nicknamed Timmy. I don't think they actually knew his name, but nicknamed Timmy. He liked to roll balls on the floor, and this was apparent because other investigators had left balls, some with rattlers in them, throughout the sanatorium. The fifth floor housed room 502, which is an infamous room. I saw so much about that. Like, infamous room.
Very haunted.
Yeah. This room is said to be the most haunted in the whole area. Andrew didn't really go into it, but I'll give you, like, the quick brief. It is said that a female nurse, mm-hmm. Got impregnated either by one of the doctors or the owner at the time. It is contradictory. We really don't know.
Somebody. Yes. In power.
Yes. And upon finding out that she told him, and he wanted nothing to do with her, nothing to do with the baby, she commits suicide in that room.
Oh.
So, the haunted.
Not good juju.
Not good juju.
I mean, not that any of this place has good juju, because it's like a lot of people got very sick and died there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other kind of bad juju.
Yeah.
I need a new word.
That's okay. So Ernie takes him in there, and it's again said to be the most haunted room, and like, especially on that whole floor, and mm-hmm. that floor, I think, is the most active.
Okay.
And then Ernie takes them into one of the operating rooms. He turns off his flashlight and speaks. He keeps using the, like, quotations. He's like, eh, you know.
He might have spoken.
To the spirits. And they communicated back through turning the light on and off. Of course, I was standing the closest to the flashlight and thought, wonderful. He put it in all caps.
And they were doing the flashlight game? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know how that works? Because it's not, like, a button.
I don't know how that
So
works.
Typically when, I know this because of And That's Why You Drink, thanks,
I expected it was a button.
No.
Because he doesn't explain it.
You know those, like, twisty ones that you have, and you can get it to where if you barely touch it, it goes one, like, on or off?
Yeah.
So that's what they do, because ghosts don't have a lot of energy.
Yeah, so they have to barely.
For them to be able to do it, that way they barely have to touch it, and it still gives a signal.
Works.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes way more sense based on what Andrew says.
Okay.
So he said, and I thought, wonderful, all caps, which I thought was great.
Wonderful.
And like three exclamation points. I was like, great. We were skeptical of this. Was it a parlor trick? A trick flashlight? There are articles stating how you can fake this. And he said, I don't know if it was real or if it was fake, but I will say others in our group used the flashlight on their own and had the same results. Regardless, neat effect, and had most of our hearts racing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Andrew and his companions experienced many of the same things that you read about when looking into Waverly, including seeing shadow people, lights being manipulated, an uneasy feeling that follows you, and etc. But Andrew experienced something I didn't see very much as I was researching. He said, quote, Ernie had told us about a spirit known as the Creeper. Something
I
that
don't
walks.
Like that name.
I don't like it either. And you're going to like it even less when I tell
also,
you more about it.
Sounds like a serial killer name.
Right? It really does.
Don't like that.
Mm-mm. So known as the Creeper. Something that walks on all fours. Very vague explanation. And he says, listen.
It's a demon.
Right? He says, listen, I'm not here to make you believe in spirits or make you think it's all fake. I will tell you, with our group, I personally was staring at the bottom of a door. And something came crawling at me. Crawling in all caps. Brown and white. Bigger than a dog. Still to this day, no idea what it was. All caps. 5 exclamation points. I jumped probably 5 feet in the air because I thought whatever it was going to run into my feet. Immediately I asked if anyone else saw it and no one had. I don't know what it was, but I can promise you it wasn't even midnight. So sleep deprivation wasn't a thing. Because remember, they were doing it overnight. Sleep deprivation wasn't an issue.
No,
and I saw whatever it was as plain as looking at the sky. I was and am no longer a skeptic. Yeah.
I don't
don't want to go.
I still want to go. I'm not asking you to do like an overnight.
No,
I wouldn't do an overnight. I'm not stupid.
Yeah. I don't even know if I want to do like the ghost tour.
You would do the historic tour?
I don't know, though, because, I mean, if we go...
You might as well do the ghost tour.
I'm not doing the one where we walk around by ourselves.
No. I want a tour guide. Well, and I like tour guides. I want people to tell me things.
I like good tour guides. There's definitely bad ones out there.
Yeah. But also, that sounds like a demon from the underworld, and that'll be a no for me, dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotta go.
Yeah. Real freaky. So, yeah, that's all I have for you. But,
good spooky season start.
I have known since we started Sav Stories that I was going to do Waverly for October. I've just never told you until now.
See, and you think you're like, huh, I haven't figured out what I'm doing. Lies and slander.
Lies and slander. And that's also why I was able to push it to the last minute, because I knew what I was going to do. I just needed to do it.
And that's why I schedule my episodes out really far in advance, because it doesn't take me that... The longest part of, like, researching, I swear, is, like, picking a topic.
Choosing what to do. Yeah. When I did the Staley Hotel, I was researching topics for, like, a week and a half. I was like, I don't know what to do. No, maybe not a week and a half, but for a solid, like, maybe 3 or 4 days, I was like... I don't know. But then when I chose it, I was like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
It's still my favorite one.
I have 3 episodes left to pick for the year.
Ah! That's so exciting.
Yeah.
And terrifying all at the same time. I love it, though.
Well, good job. That was...
Thanks. I feel
spooktacular.
Yeah. I love ones like this that are just like, I'm just going to tell you all kinds of ghost stories. Like, that's my favorite.
I love a good ghost. Well... Yeah. Our next several regular episodes are going to be murders, because we've done a lot of ghosts lately, so sorry.
Yeah, my next Sav Stories will probably be a crime again.
Yeah.
Just to spice it up.
Spice it
up. I don't know, unless I find a really good other paranormal topic that I'm going to have to do, but...
For November.
No. Yeah. But yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. I just am even less excited.
I still want to go.
Going. I don't know.
Patrons, help us go.
We need to set a goal. We need to set, like, a hard patron number goal by a certain date to see if... we'll talk about it in 2021, because it's not happening this October. They are doing something for Halloween. It's just, like, not their
not
normal
as big,
haunted thing. Yeah. I don't know. I would much rather go to Boo at the Zoo instead.
Which
Kid
is
friendly.
Children
family
trick-or-treat.
Friendly. Family. We can take my nephew.
I'm going to say, we don't have family yet.
We
not like
take
little
my
family.
Yeah. We can take my nephews and my nieces. Or the one.
I'm going to say, isn't the one like older?
Layla's, a lot older.
She's probably not into that.
Yeah.
and one lives in Ohio. So the only one that's
the only one that we have access to.
Yeah. But that's fine. The boys would be enough to handle, honestly. Oh, yeah. Like, we just keep adding, though.
It'll I'm sure fun. Their parents would love if we volunteered to take them.
To take them? I'm sure.
Well, thank you, patrons. I hope you enjoyed this month's Sav Stories. I know I did.
I'm glad.
You're already here, so all we're going to say is thank you. And we love you.
And encourage your friends. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. In the meantime,
stay safe out there. Thanks for watching. Our music is by Purple Planet. Our art and logos are by Catherine Dodds. If you'd like to support us, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/nsgopod. And don't forget to listen on all of your favorite podcasting platforms.